So have we executed that guy yet? Have we executed that terrorist yet? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Have we executed the latest terrorist yet? The guy who attacked the flight from Amsterdam to Detroit. Have we executed him yet? Umar Farouk Abdulmullah Talababalah. I want to know if he's still... Haven't we? I mean, there were witnesses, right? There were witnesses. Are we trying to work him over to get more information out of him? His father contacted the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria a few months ago. And this was this first reported by CNN? It's been confirmed, parts of it, by administration officials. But they're saying, well, we only heard about this a few weeks ago, but the family in Nigeria says it was months ago when the father contacted the U.S. embassy in their country and said, here's a text message I got from my son, and he said he's going to Yemen, and he's going there because he wants to be a jihadist, most likely. That's what we think. And so we want to warn you, and in this age of hypersensitivity, where we will put a 98-year-old grandma through three levels of screening and body searches, and we let turban-clad Muslims right on the plane without even checking them. I'm exaggerating. They thought they couldn't pull his visa because he hadn't killed anybody yet. So, he still has not been executed? Is that true? I mean, there were witnesses. Weren't there witnesses? He's still alive? It's a little confusing to me why he hasn't been executed yet. Yesterday on the program, we went through the report that here at Bob Enyart Live, we put on the internet on September 12th, 2001, the day after the terrorist attack, and we put it there to find out if this information would stand the test of time and scrutiny. To see, sometimes in the immediate aftermath of a crisis, a great tragedy, people don't think straight. But if you have your worldview based on God's word, and if the Bible is God's word, you should have wisdom and discernment and insight. And at times of crisis, that's when your understanding becomes especially important. After 9/11, do you remember what happened in the immediate days and weeks after 9/11? Do you remember all the spontaneous gay pride parades all over the country? Do you remember that? You remember how everyone started donating to Planned Parenthood so we could kill more Middle Easterners in abortion clinics? No. No, it wasn't Planned Parenthood. It wasn't abortion. It wasn't homosexuality. It was God. People went back to church. People prayed. People read from the scriptures. And that's what happens when reality hits. The lies have a more difficult time because reality shines a light through lies, because lies stand against reality. Lies stand against reality. And when reality hits especially hard, then the truth becomes more obvious. That's why they say you don't find an atheist in a foxhole, because there you're staring ultimate reality right in the face. So we talked about 9/11 not being a failure. Is it true? Is it true? We just got somebody walked in the studio audience. Is it true about Eduardo Verástegui, the star of Bella, that extraordinary Hollywood movie? It did so well. Bella won independent film festivals, won some major film festivals, if I recall, saved hundreds of unborn children from being killed because of the message, the affirmation of life. And Eduardo Verástegui, he's the Mexican heartthrob. It's true, he's coming to Denver, Colorado for the March for Life on January 22nd on the west steps of the Capitol, downtown Denver. It's true. Well, that is so exciting, because last we had heard, Eduardo, who's become a star of the pro-life movement, Eduardo was going to Washington, D.C. for that massive March for Life in D.C., and so we had invited him to Colorado, but we were told he'd be in D.C. Now it turns out, if I have the story straight, and I think I have the story straight, that Eduardo says that for Colorado to get back on the ballot with our personhood amendment for 2010 is crucial for the momentum of the personhood movement, not to save hundreds, but millions of unborn children, millions. And so Eduardo Verástegui is coming out here to Colorado for the March for Life, January 22nd. So you'll want to come down to the Capitol and meet him. You want to bring your family, your friends. Eduardo is especially well known in the Hispanic community. So we got to get the word out. Find ways to let Hispanic churches know. Let your neighbors know. Friend, everybody, get the movie Bella. Buy the movie, the DVD, over the next few weeks. Rent it. See Bella. And that'll encourage you to come on out. We've had our children see the movie Bella. And what a great life-affirming movie. I mean, it's a little tense because a woman is pregnant and she's considering abortion. And it's intense, but it's extremely well done. A fabulous movie. And Eduardo Verástegui, what an honor that he's actually coming to Colorado instead of Washington, D.C. What did that Dave Richards say from Idaho? He ran for governor of Idaho as a pro-lifer. And he is moving to Denver, Colorado to help get signatures, to help Colorado get back on the ballot for 2010. He's literally moving here. He's moving here with his son. And he came through some months ago. And he volunteered this observation. He said, Denver, Colorado is the capital of the pro-life movement in America. Denver, Colorado. And that's thanks to the faithfulness of dozens of saints, followers of Jesus Christ, who have been faithful for 20 years, over 20 years, 25 years, a quarter century. So Eduardo Verástegui is headed here, and please do what you can to get your church to the March for Life. Ask your pastor to remember, we got Sanctity of Life Sunday coming up, where hundreds of churches can join. Right now there's 150 churches that are listed online that are getting signatures. Imagine this. Imagine we could get 100 more churches for Sanctity of Life Sunday, and your church could be one of them. All right, where was I? I was talking about this terrorist who's, what's his name, the guy who tried to bring down that Northwest Airlines flight. His name is Umar Farouk Abdul Idrul Mutalalababla. What's his name? Idrul Abdul Mutalalababli. I can't pronounce it exactly right. And he's not been executed yet. Why has he not been executed yet? Unless we need more time to talk to him to try to get information out of him about his terrorist contacts, then I understand. But that's the only reason. I mean, when you have someone trying to commit murder and there are witnesses and some of it is videotaped, and he admits it. He tells his family ahead of time, hey, I'm going to join the jihad. I mean, what's the complication here? Why does it take 9 years? Why does it take 9 years? He should be executed by about, what time is it? It's 9 minutes after the hour. He should be executed by now, at least by sundown. So on September 11th, we posted on the internet that these hijackings of 9/11, they were not a failure of airport security personnel, but they're a failure of security strategy, because hijackers can always get weapons onto airplanes. Pilots should be armed. Crew members should have access to weapons. On Israel's El Al Airlines, undercover armed security guards could have easily stopped the 9/11 attacks, easily. In fact, those attacks would not have happened on El Al Airlines. Instead, our government, their official policy is do whatever the terrorist tells you to do. Comply. That's a victim mentality. And we need to teach our children, women, potential victims of rapists, don't do anything they tell you to do. Don't do anything. Don't do anything they tell you to do. If they tell you to get in the car or I'll kill you, it's better that they kill you. Don't get in the car. Don't ever allow a secondary crime scene. Run, scream, yell. If it's a possible sexual assault, defecate, vomit, urinate, anything, everything the opposite of what they tell you to do. If they break into your home and you wake up and somebody's standing in your room with a gun pointed at you, just charge them. Just run at them. What, he might kill you? Yeah, he might kill you. But don't do what he says. Don't do anything. So when the terrorist says, do this, you don't do it. That should be our government policy. And we don't negotiate with terrorists because then you get more terrorists. We should pass legislation, we shouldn't have to, but in our twisted world, to prosecute all members of known terrorist organizations for murder and prosecute their active supporters for conspiracy to murder. And if a foreign nation harbors or supports terrorists, America should dismantle. We should dismantle that government if possible. If a foreign nation harbors or supports terrorists, we should dismantle their government if we can. It'd be hard to dismantle China's government. That'd be tough. But if we can, if it's some pipsqueak nation like Yemen, and they're harboring and supporting terrorists, you go in and you kill all the Yemeni governing officials. You kill them all. And you threaten nations. If you harbor terrorists, you are a terrorist. That was supposed to be the Bush doctrine, but he preferred giving millions of dollars to terrorists like Yasser Arafat. Remember the Bush doctrine? If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Too bad he couldn't stick with that. You know, that was so good. Then we came out with the Babinert Live doctrine, which was, if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Because Yasser Arafat, he are a terrorist. And so we give millions of dollars to Yasser Arafat. And when Israel punishes terrorist acts, then we criticize Israel. When we criticize Israel for punishing terrorist acts, we encourage terrorism. Israel has the same right of defense as America does. So there's so many things we could have done, we should be doing, that we're not doing. And now Obama, his government's right on the ball, right? We have a father in Nigeria contact our U.S. embassy, say, I got a text message from my son, Umar Farouk Abdul Idru Matalablabli, and he's become radicalized. And he's headed to Yemen, the current outsourcing capital of the world for jihad. He's going to Yemen to join jihad. And so we say, well, that's not quite enough to put him on a no-fly list. We have to wait until he tries to blow up a plane, and then we could put him on a no-fly list. Then we'll get the ACLU to defend him in a New York City courtroom. So Bush was as bad as Obama. I mean, when you give tens of millions of dollars to terrorists in the name of fighting the war on terror, you're sort of blurring the issue. So, all right. It's true. Eduardo Verástegui is coming to Denver to speak at the March for Life. This is just so extraordinary. This is extraordinary. And one of the largest March for Lives in the country. Boy, do I have a secret. Boy, do I want to tell you guys. I think I should wait for after the March for Life. There's going to be one in another state, and it's going to be big. What's going to happen? Big, big, exciting, big, big, personhood, big, 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 big. It's going to be big. Did I say it's going to be big? It's going to be big. So I have a bad memory. So after the March for Life, somebody call in and say, what is that that was going to be big at the March for Life? All right. Let's go to the phones. We have asked for those who are getting signatures. We need 100,000 signatures to call in and let us know how it's going. And we have a call from Brian. And I believe this is my brother, Brian Enyart. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you for being out there in the cold. Is it cold out?
Well, actually, I'd like to say we're out in the cold working on this, but we're actually in a nice heated little area right inside Mardell's Christian bookstore.
Wow.
And we've talked to, I don't know, maybe 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Evans and I are down here.
Scott Evans, a pro-life activist from Longmont, Colorado. Scott Evans.
Scott Evans and I are down here. We took over. Leslie Hanks was actually here when we got here. We asked her to leave because I'm sure she's down here lots.
Right.
So we've talked to about 100 people. And I would say if you're new to this whole petition gathering effort, it's a great place to go, like a Mardell's down. I think we're down in Lakewood because 75 to 80% of the people are very receptive and want to know about it.
That is so exciting, Bri. So 75-80%. Now, if you were liberals getting signatures, say to put marijuana, to legalize pot, for potheads, if you work for Acorn, out of every 100 people you talk to, you'd get about 112 signatures.
Wow.
So you're saying, so we're getting, that's exciting, that many people have the courage to put their name on a personhood petition. Praise the Lord.
Now, that's not the end of it, and that's not the best of it. Scott and I have also handed out about 6 petitions this afternoon to people who said, you know what, I want to do more than just sign this petition. I want to do more than just vote yes for it, the personhood amendment next November. I want to do something about it. And so we walked them through the steps of how to take a petition and how to get their own signatures.
Wow.
And we've had a half a dozen people leave excited and ready to get up and rolling.
Because they're Christians, they know that God made us, we're made in His image and likeness, and when a mom or a dad is involved, when they kill their child, not only does it grieve God,
yeah,
it grieves the Holy Spirit, but it turns their hearts harder against Him.
Yeah.
And it makes them harder to reach with the gospel. That is one of the reasons. The first reason is because God doesn't want us to kill children. The second reason is because God knows that when we lift our hand in rebellion against Him, when we commit these crimes, kidnapping, murder, adultery, that it turns people's hearts harder against Him.
One of the women, his name was Hillary, with one L. She pointed out very strongly that it's Hillary with one L, not two L's.
Hillary with one L.
Yeah, so she was quite a woman, and I spoke to her for maybe 20 minutes or so. She left for a half hour, and she came back. She said, you know what, I have a question. She said, I have women in my church and in my neighborhood that talk to me about this issue because they've had abortions, and they say, you know, you've never had an abortion, but you don't understand. You know, there are reasons. You know, people don't understand. And I said to her, isn't that similar to talking to people incarcerated, people who are thieves and people who are rapists and in for all kinds of murder and all
right.
kinds of things? I said, wouldn't each one of them be able to give you a long, long laundry list?
A story of why they did what they did.
I said, of course you're going to have reasons. Of course they have reasons.
Hey.
I said, inconveniently for them, the Bible doesn't say, look, thou shalt not do this or that, except under these 16 conditions.
Right.
Then you can do those things.
Right, so that even the man in jail who's beat up his girlfriend, he explains his reasons why you should understand him. He explains it.
Yep.
And the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not murder unless your name is Roe or any other name.
Yeah, unless it's inconvenient or you don't have the money or you don't understand or... Yeah, it doesn't say those things.
So, yeah, or you no longer like the father, or your child is going to have a disability, and you really wanted a perfect designer jeans baby, So your child is going to require more loving attention. So go ahead and kill it so you can have an easier life.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you that it's very encouraging to me because 2 years ago when we did this and got this question on the ballot, I didn't get similar response in that people, at least 5% of people or more, not only were willing to sign it, but they also wanted to take a petition.
Wow.
And they also wanted to get involved. And it's just, that's the exciting part.
So, Brian, in other words, 2 years ago, we were in part of this education process that we're still in, but we were at an earlier part of it. There's a book that no one in the audience needs to read. You could read the book just by hearing the title. It's Educate by Initiative. Education by Initiative. When you put something on the ballot, you're getting signatures, you're getting people to think about it and to vote on it, you're teaching them.
Yeah.
So the pro-life movement says they want to teach the country about the sanctity of life. What better way of doing it than to say that we need to acknowledge that every child has a God-given right to life? What better way?
You know, it's exciting when I talk to a half a dozen people here. It might even have been up to a dozen people today, and they said, oh, yeah, that's moment of conception, from the moment of conception.
Wow.
And so I had to explain to them that back in November of 2008, that was the question that was put before the voters.
Yeah, it was fertilization, but that people used it as synonyms. But fertilization, the moment of conception, you're right. Go ahead.
Right. So it was just interesting to see that, with almost no funds at all, we had made an impact. And, you know, I'm just talking to some random people, and they say, oh, yeah, we heard about that. Oh, yeah, we know about that.
Right.
So, well, we've changed the wording a little to include some other groups of kids.
Right.
But
hey, Brian, let me tell you what one of the things that happened. We got 131,000 signatures to get on the ballot in 2008.
And Scott and Connie are in there right now getting two more, hopefully.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, listen to this. We've got a project called Team 131, Colorado Right to Life, where volunteers all over the country have been pulling up on their computers scans of the signature pages of the petitions.
Wow.
And entering, building a database. We have tens of thousands of those names entered, tens of thousands.
Wow.
The email address is teamster131@gmail.com.
Okay.
And so now the goal is to place phone calls, and we'll do robocalls, to those tens of thousands of people.
Wow.
To invite them, first of all, to come to the March for Life on January 22nd at the Capitol in Denver.
Wow.
To meet Eduardo Verástegui, the star of Bella, and to get a petition, to sign a petition, to turn in your petition. But we want to call those people, and we want to send a postcard to 5,000 pro-life families and to 1,000 churches. And you know what this all needs, Bri?
That
it needs money.
Yeah.
It needs money. And Colorado Right to Life needs money.
I see.
And it's so vital. So people listening right now, and it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you could send a check to Colorado Right to Life, or you could, if you're in Colorado, you could call Colorado Right to Life and get a petition and start getting signatures, and you could plan to come to the march.
Let me tell you what I did for almost two decades. I would get letters from different groups, pro-life groups, and I would just repeatedly write checks to these groups. And I got disgusted with it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I stopped writing checks. And now, after I've become more active and getting involved, now I realize, you know what? I need to open up my mouth. I need to go out and get signatures. I need to confront and make people uncomfortable with this issue who are on the other side. Mm. And I need to write checks. And
wow.
I need to go to banquets. I need to do it all.
Amen. Hey, Bri, some people say that, well, I think we evolved, that we're just animals. There's no God. We evolved.
Yeah.
Well, how do you respond?
Well, I had an interesting conversation some time ago with one of my neighbors, and we had that conversation over dinner at an Italian restaurant. And we were friendly, not friends, but we were friendly, and he was my neighbor. So we got back to his house, and on the drive back, we were talking about it, and I was sitting in his living room, and he had a nice fireplace, and up on his fireplace mantle, there was a wooden duck.
A duck on the fireplace. Bri, we have one more minute. Go ahead.
A duck on the wooden fireplace. So he asked, I got the duck down, and I said to him, is there any possibility that you would say that this wooden duck could be fashioned through just the forces of nature? Let's say it was a log that was out or a tree stump, and it got hit repeatedly with lightning and wind and, you know, other things, debris hit against it, and it just fashioned this wooden duck that we see here today.
The bill, the feathers, the eyes, all that, right.
It was beautifully, artistically made duck, and he said, that is an absolute impossibility, and there's not a chance that that could happen.
Right.
And I said, and you can stand here and tell me, after telling me that there's not a chance that some natural force could create this wooden duck, we could talk now about a real duck, and you could tell me it just happened with explosions and lightning and winds and chemicals. I said, you got to think about that. And I left him that night, and he said, you know what, I'm going to think about it. And I would say a week and a half later, he told me he became a Christian, and
wow.
I was just amazed and thrilled.
Amen.
That the conversation we had made some lights go on.
Wow, Brian, that's so exciting. What an honor to be your brother, and thank you for being out there. Please tell Scott Evans I said thank you, and with God's help, we'll get on the ballot again and encourage the whole personhood movement around the country. Thank you, Brian Enyart.
You're welcome. Bye, Bob.
Wow, what an honor. So if you'd like to help, we need money. Colorado Right to Life needs money to send out 5,000 postcards. And we need money to get Eduardo Verástegui to get a radio ad with his voice on the TV, on the radio stations in Colorado. And we need money to do the robocalls and call tens of thousands of people who signed the petition last year to invite them for the March for Life. So, you know, those three projects right there, that's $10,000 right there. And it's almost the end of the year. What a good time for you to write a check to Colorado Right to Life. Issue committee, no deduction. Colorado Right to Life Education Fund, you get a deduction. So please help. Maranatha, God bless.